in the pasture, run them in the pen, work them on the Sundays, do it all again. Race them in the sand, buck them in the mud, drip a cowboy's sweat, bleed a cowboy's blood.
I'm Zeke Thurston, 2016 World Champion Saddlebrock Rider, and you're watching the Peppert Stewart Show.
Once again, you're here. I don't know why. Apparently, you were bored to death, so that's why you jumped on one more time. But we've got something special for you today. Something special. I can't tell you how special, but I will shortly. On today's show, we took a trip all the way to Colorado. If you wonder how long the drive is from East Texas, it's 12 hours. I don't recommend it in one day. But anyway, went up there to Colorado. Wife wanted to go to a concert. Went to that. Checked it out. While I was there, I did grab some Gold Buckle beer. We took some of that back just to check it out to see what the uproar was about since it's a new sanctioned beer of the PRCA. So we'll tell you about that. I did get high in Colorado on a mountain. I don't know what you were thinking, but I was on top of a mountain. And I did ride the cable ride. And I'll tell you about that. We did go to Maggie's Farm to do some investigative journalism in the dispensaries, as they call them, which that's a weird deal. So we walked around, looked at that, and I don't know. It's to me, it's weird. Some folks, it's normal. It's Colorado, but for me, it was strange. Don't forget, murder is still illegal in Texas. Don't forget that. Also, don't forget this. While I was there, I went to the PBR, their new sports complex. Is open for business. It's opened up. It's reminiscent of an NFL workout center, but for the professional bull riders. So take a look at this and see what we saw while we were there in Pueblo, Colorado. Hope you enjoyed that. The Professional Bull Riders PBR has stepped up their performance for the Cowboys as far as rehab and getting ready for events. So check that out. If you're in Pueblo, run by there and take a look at that. But what I've got for you right now here in studio is SMU Mustangs. And what does SMU have? They have equestrian sports. If you didn't know, I'm sure you've watched football, you've watched basketball, you watched baseball, but do you watch horses? And with that, right here in studio with me, I've got the SMU Mustang Equestrians with their coach, Carol Gwynn, along with Vivian Yowen and Holly Lansdale, right here in studio with me to talk to you guys about SMU Mustangs and what the horses do.
Great.
It's not just pony up, it's pony riding. So so I don't know where you want to start. Carol, you want to start as the head coach and kind of tell us a little bit about the program?
Certainly. Thanks, Pepper. Our program is considered an emerging sport with the NCAA. So we offer scholarships to student athletes. We have a team that is comprised of about 38 girls, I believe, this year. We try to stay right around the 40 number. They're the top student athletes in the sport of equestrian in both Western disciplines and hunter seat disciplines.
Okay, and let's go to Vivian. You want to tell us a little bit about what you do there at SMU?
We compete. We have two sides of horse showing. So we bring in the English and Western, and we bring them together, which is pretty cool because most of us haven't seen that other side. And so throughout the weeks, we practice, we work out just like we would, you know, in normal competition. And then we have meets where basically it's a head-to-head competition. You draw a horse randomly, and you only have very limited time to get to know that horse. And then you ride against the other team, and then they calculate the points in total, which is pretty cool because we calculate it together with English and Western as a whole team.
Okay, and as far as you ride in?
I ride hunt seat, so I do over fences and flat.
Okay, all right. And Holly?
I ride Western, and I do reining.
And reining?
Okay. Reining, yeah.
All right. And Carol, what, as far as a coach, what is your background in the equestrian sports as far as being a coach?
I graduated from college and took a job teaching riding at a small school in Virginia. Then I ran my own business for 14 years, boarding, lessoning, teaching a variety of different levels of riders, and then started as an assistant coach at the University of South Carolina 5 years ago. 10 years ago, and now I've been at SMU for 5 years.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does fly. I know. We also have two other coaches for the team. We have Coach Mackenzie Lance, who coaches our Western team. She's our associate head coach, and then we have Coach Amber Henner, who is our hunter seat coach.
Okay.
I just make sure our base stays organized.
All right. And Vivian, what was it about the jumping that got you to jumping? Did you just ride jumping? Do you ride disciplines or?
No, so I only do hunter jumpers. My parents rode when they were younger, so I started when I was 3 years old, and that was pretty much all I ever done.
And as far as doing the jumping, because I like to watch that. I've never done it. I'm always afraid I'm gonna fall off, but I like to watch. And so, what is about that as far as doing the jumping? Is there any special training you do or riding you do as far as training to do the jumps?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a lot of what goes into jumping is not just jumping the jumps. A lot of it is, you know, getting that connection with your horse and working with your horse just on the ground and flat work and all of, you know, the things that go into to make a partnership with a horse. And I think that's the biggest part in jumping. It's not just, you know, making it over the fences.
Do you have a particular horse that's your favorite?
At SMU?
Yes.
For jumping, it would probably be Dylan.
What's the story on him?
It's a funny story. I actually showed him back in the day before I even came to college. And then he got donated to SMU, and he has a very long resume of success. So he's a pretty talented horse.
Okay. All right. And Holly, what about you? What got you started in doing the reining and want to be a reiner?
My mom did it when she was a kid, and she was really into horses, and so I basically just grew up around her doing it. And I've never done anything but reining. So I literally started riding when I was just a kid and showing when I was six, and I've just been doing it ever since.
What about your favorite horse out of this? I mean, you.
My favorite's Stewie. Yeah. Yeah.
What's so special about him?
He's really cute, first of all, and he has a good personality, and I feel like I really get along with him the best out of all the horses, and we just kind of have we're friends, pals.
And what's it like as far as being on a team, an equestrian team at a college that, you know, when people think of college, they don't. Nobody thinks of horses. You know, every now and then somebody, of course, being in Texas, you may think of a rodeo team here or there. But as far as the equestrian teams, nobody really thinks of that. They want to, you know, basketball, football, baseball, whatever. So what is it like being on a team, you know, in the horse sports?
It's honestly, it's amazing. It's been a really incredible experience to be able to come into college and have a team and have friends that you've made, and you also get to do a sport that you've done your whole life that you absolutely love, and you get to get your education at the same time. So it's just been really great.
And so, what's it like, you know, with the team? Y'all travel around different you know, colleges to compete, and what's that like, the camaraderie amongst the team as far as, you know, going and competing?
Well, I think the biggest thing is when we all come into college, we're not used to riding on a team. So it's basically like having 36 other girls that you can turn to for anything. And, you know, when you're walking in the ring, you have those girls that are supporting you. And, you know, equestrian is always known as such an individual sport. So I think, you know, through all of this, we've made very strong connections with all of the girls on the team. And no matter what, they're there for you.
Now, what about injuries? Because if you ride a horse long enough, you're going to fall off.
Yeah.
So has there been any crazy injuries or anything like that that's happened to y'all so far?
Not since I've been in college, no.
Not to me either. Fortunately not.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So you want to keep that. That's a record you want to keep good. Yeah. So.
But we do, since we are an athletic team, we do have a great support staff with the athletics department. So not only do they have an academic advisor, but they also have an athletic trainer and a strength and conditioning coach. So they have all of that backup. So we actually have our athletic trainer at the facility when we are practicing. These girls get iced. They get treated as well as our horse athletes. So,
okay. And what about the horses? How do they get, you know, from traveling around place to place as far as their care? How's that managed?
Well, fortunately, what we do is when people come to us, they ride our horses. When we compete against a away team, we ride their horses. So you can imagine an away meet is a pretty challenging event when you have 4 minutes to get on and warm up and figure out the horse.
Now, that's something I didn't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you go to another college, you're at the mercy of the horses they give you.
Correct. It's a random draw. It's a random draw and random pairing of who you're matched up against. But, yeah, exactly. So you might go some places and ride really nice horses, and you might go some places and ride difficult horses, and you just never really know what you're going to end up with.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Interesting perspective on it as far as that. So when you get to the places, do they tell you, hey, this horse does this, this horse does that, or are you just pretty much blind?
I would tell you, you get to watch the opposing team ride the horse in front of you, so you have a general sense. We get a brief description, but I find it, you know, it's like two sentences, so there isn't that much you can get out of that. Wouldn't you guys agree?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
But watching the horses warm up a little bit and kind of getting to know them, you know, with their regular riders on them, and then that gives our girls a place to jump off from and figure out.
Okay.
You know.
And that's interesting for those that don't know how that works. It's not like for me, I'm not familiar with that. I see on the internet all the time, I see that, you know, I've seen the pictures that y'all post and other teams post at different events and things, but I didn't know the complexity of how all that worked, because coming from rodeo background and not knowing the equestrian aspect of how it works. So when you go to school, how does that work? When you show up to another school to compete, what happens?
Well, we pretty much get there, and when the meet starts, like, the horses start warming up, and we'll stand there. You know, most of the time it's just with us and those other girls that are competing, and we'll watch the horses go around. We wait for a draw, so once we know the draw, that's when we really can pay attention, and we really only focus on the one horse that we're going to compete on.
So are they? So when you get there to the meet, that team is riding the horses that you're going to ride?
Correct, but it's not the people that are actually going to be competing that day. It's okay. Additional team members that are warming up the horses. Okay. There is a rule that you can't ride within 12 hours of the competition.
Okay.
So they can't get on in early in the morning and ride them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting aspect of that, because I didn't know anything about that. So that's, mm-hmm. Now, where's the place that you went to compete that you thought, man, there's some good horses right here?
I would say probably, some of the bigger SEC schools like University of Georgia, Auburn, Texas A&M, even I would say Oklahoma State has some nice horses, okay. South Carolina.
Okay. And mm-hmm. while you're in college, what are you studying? What's your major? What are you studying right now?
I'm a business major.
Studying business.
Mm-hmm.
Holly?
I'm health promotion management.
Okay. And once you get out of school, do you plan to continue to compete in equestrian events?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Probably not as much as I'm riding now, but we have some horses back home, me and my mom do. So, and they're coming up to be shown. So.
And when you say back home, how far is that?
Seattle.
That's
so,
a long way.
So far away.
And what about you, Vivian? Where's back home for you?
I'm from Connecticut, so.
That's okay. Everybody's far away. What is it that drew all of you to Texas?
Well, for me, it was a job, but I think with the girls, they can answer for themselves. But we have kids from all over the country. We see hundreds and hundreds of videos, recruiting student athletes, for the positions that we have each year. So it's pretty competitive.
Okay.
These guys are some of the best of the best.
And for you, Vivian, what brought you to SMU?
I think the biggest thing was SMU had the best balance between academics and athletics. So while I know I was on a very competitive athletic team, I also knew that I was getting one of the best educations that I possibly could have.
Okay. What about you, Holly?
Same thing.
Same?
And this is like horse country for riding.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. You're in the right spot.
Yeah.
You just run to Aubrey and you'll get lost.
Mm-hmm.
And reining horses. Okay. Well, you got anything else you want to add as far as upcoming events you got going on, or anybody out there watching that's looking and seeing you guys and thinking, man, that's a great deal. I want to get involved in equestrian sports, maybe looking to SMU. What would you tell those people?
I think you can look at each school's website and kind of see which schools are offering equestrian. Equestrian can be offered just as a club sport, or it can be offered as a sport through the athletics department. And so you have to kind of figure out whether it's a bit of a job to be a student athlete. You're representing your school. You're mm-hmm. representing your school both academically, athletically, competing. It's a big time commitment. And so I think you have to decide that, this is what you want to do, and that you want to do it for 4 years and meet a great group of girls and go out and yell and cheer and, have a really good time.
Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what, Carol, Holly, Vivian, I appreciate y'all coming in and visiting with us and letting the folks out there in the world, and we're worldwide, so let the folks in the world know what's going on at SMU, and we'll keep an eye out on your competitions, and we'll see you down the road.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Cow stuff. Cattle news. Stuff is going on. I mentioned I was up in Denver. Did I say it was in Denver? I said it was in Colorado. That's close enough. Denver, Colorado, it's all the same. It's all the same to me. It's a long way from Texas. But a Denver man convinced investor to give him tens of millions of dollars for his cattle trading and marijuana business. So were the cows smoking marijuana? I don't know. But he lured them in with promises of steep returns. But the problem, he didn't own any cows. And his state-licensed marijuana business was in debt. So according to the settlement documents filed on Monday in the District Court of Colorado, he funneled millions of dollars to pay off prior investors and to line his pockets. He paid off a lot of bills, private flights, and his own herd of show cattle. The grand jury indicted him of two felonies alleging stealing more than $30,000 as part of a fraud scheme back in 2016. So they got him. And along with that, charges have been added. We talked about this before, about this guy Justin Thompson out of Louisiana. He was arrested on Wednesday on felony cattle theft indictment of Cass County, Texas. The arrest at the Wood County Courthouse. Thompson was booked, later released on $40,000 bond. He was previously arrested in Louisiana and extradited to Texas on 3 cattle theft indictments in Wood County. This brings the total to 4 counts of theft. Stop stealing cows, man. You're not good at it. You've been caught 4 times now, so quit doing it. Go find something else to do. I don't know what else to tell you. The ID, all the cattle ID, you know, the ID tags, RFID tags, the tag deal, it's getting a lot of backlash. People aren't wanting to do it. They're trying to file injunctions on the cattle ID. I don't know what's going on with that. I guess we'll see what happens. Prices are still bad. They've kind of turned up, possibly. A few reports say they have, a few reports say they haven't. So basically, just feed your cows. Just feed them. You know, it's winter time. Winter's coming on. Make sure you got plenty of hay. If you don't, go ahead and down them. If you got plenty of hay, feed them out through the winter, and we'll see what prices do once winter's gone. But winter time's coming on. It's going to be a cold one. Make sure you're taking care of your cows. Also, current market prices through most of Texas, Oklahoma, even some in California and Kansas. You can find all those market reports at pepperstewart.com under Livestock Market Reports. Look it up. Check it out. I tell you what, you go look at that right now. I'm going to take a break. And when I come back, I've got stuff.
Speed Demon, the little ornery. Slowed just a little. Cooper Davis has got a chance. If the judges like it enough, we've got a new number one in the Twin Cities.
I'm fired up about all of this, man. From the bull to
90
Davis.
90 3/4.
That move around the corner right there. The bullfighters afterward. That was just awesome.
I know it happens in slower time for you, but I always feel like there's a moment in every ride where you see Cooper settle. And on this one, it was really evident.
Yeah, man. Bullfighters going to work. Frank Newsom saying, bring it on. But Davis, around the corner was that moment for me, Craig, because he was
that
stuck.
That right there was Cooper Davis's ride. He won the championship round with a 90 3/4 on Speed Demon right there. That's a great ride. If you want to know what happened in round one, that was Dalton Cassell. Took round one with 87 on Really Western. Then Cody Teal won round number two with 88 3/4 on Painted Moon. But the event winner was Alan DeSosa, and he rode legit for 88.5 in the championship round. So that was some good stuff. If you wonder who, well, let's round out the top five. You had Alan DeSosa, number one, Cooper Davis, second place, third place, Jess Lockwood, fourth, Dalton Cassell, fifth place, Cody Teal, and friend of the show, numero seis, Mason Taylor right there, number six, in PBR. But what happened? I talked about this earlier. I went to Colorado. So let's talk about Colorado. We went up there to see a concert. My wife wanted to go see a concert. There's she wanted to go see Ghost, which we go do these ghost events and watch, you know, these ghosts watch. I don't call it ghost hunting because you're not really hunting anything. You're watching it. It's kind of ghost watching. So she's like, well, let's go see some ghosts in Colorado. I'm like, okay, well, let's go. Well, apparently Ghost is a band. So I'm going to see this band called Ghost, which it was really entertaining. I knew nothing about the band, but when I watched the event, the guy who sings wears a mask, and all the guitar players and all the other band members, they all wear a mask as well. And they're called the Ghouls, if that makes sense. And the guitar playing is phenomenal. If you're a fan of guitar playing, it was really good. As far as the singing, I wasn't really sure what he was saying because I couldn't really hear the vocals too much, but the guitar playing was great. It was really good. So in Colorado, we went to Cripple Creek. It's an old mining town, a real old mining town. And they've got donkeys that just roam the streets. And these donkeys that roam the streets are said to be descendants of the old donkeys that worked the mines. And so when you go out there and you're wandering around the town is full of casinos. I was surprised. We went and rode an old mine train. And then we went and walked around the town. They had a museum. We went and checked out a museum. And then the whole street, they had a festival going on. And the whole strip of the main street was casinos. I don't know if it was like a mini Vegas type deal where they were all casinos. So we went into one casino and had lunch in there. And as long as you're playing slot machines or playing, you know, that was all I saw was slots. So as long as you're playing slots, drinks are free. So my $1 in the penny slots paid off good. So, but check it out, Cripple Creek, Colorado. Go out there, look around. I did get high in Colorado, real high. We went on this cable car ride in the mountain. I don't know what you were thinking about, but anyway, it was a cable car, and it was probably, I don't know how tall it was. I think they said it was 450, 500 foot in the air. And you got on this cable, and they released it, and it runs, I think it said 35 mile an hour, and you go across the thing and back. And it was pretty neat to see that. We went into the caves. They had the caves there. And went down into the caves. One part of the caves, you got about 300 foot. It's only about 40 inches tall. So you are bent over and crawling kind of for 300 feet. So if you're not sure if you're in shape or not, you will find out quick when you bend over and start crawling for 300 feet through that cave, squatting like a duck, because I did that. And here's the deal. You got to go in. And once you get in, you got to come back. So when they tell you, well, you're gonna have to walk like a duck and bend over because it's 40 inches tall for 200 something feet. But they forget. You got to do that back. Once you go in, you got to come back. But it was pretty neat. We seen some neat stuff in the caves. Now, I did go to Maggie's Farm. And you're like, Maggie's Farm, what does that mean? Maggie's Farm is a dispensary. It says retail marijuana. So we went in there, check it out. Some folks were up there. I thought, you know what, let's go in and see. Because down here in Texas, they don't have that. Oklahoma has medical marijuana. And recreational is legal in Colorado. So I thought, what's all the fuss about? Why is everybody so wound up on going to Colorado? So we went into one of the dispensaries, and it was really weird. You walk in the door, and it looks like a doctor's office. And you walk in, they're like, hey, what are you doing? I'm just looking around. I'm doing research, journalism research. That's what I'm doing. So I walk in, so I just want to see what's going on. Well, they take your driver's license and they scan it. I'm like, huh, now I'm on a list apparently. So they scan your driver's license, and then you go into another room. And you wait for somebody else to come get you. And you go into another room, which they check your driver's license again. And it's not what you think. It's not like you're walking into Walmart and they got all this stuff everywhere. You walked in, there was a counter, and they had a few different products in the display case, and they had a big sign that said, you know, order this. You can get some Space Alien or Blue Nina or whatever you want on the wall. So you made your order, and then you went to another room. In the other room, they take your driver's license again, and then you pay cash only. I don't know what that's about. I don't know if it's like no government taxes. I don't know how that works. I didn't ask. I just watched what was going on and went through. But anyway, I thought it was a good investigative journalism going on right there. But I just thought I had to stop in and see what the fuss was about. So I don't know. To me, it was weird. But and as far as the people that were in there, it was a wide range of everyone. You had 90-year-old grandma with glaucoma in there. You had the frat boys in there. And then you had the, I guess what you'd consider the hippie types in there. So there's a little bit of everybody in there. So it's kind of interesting. I didn't take a camera in. You couldn't take cameras in there and do any interviews. So I didn't do any of that. We just kind of went in and viewed for ourselves. But interesting trip. What else do I got going on? I guess we can jump into some odd news. We got odd stuff going on. Odd news. The stuff you don't know, you wish you didn't know, but now you're about to know. Runaway sheep. A sheep run away. It escaped from its owner during a sheepdog demonstration in Tennessee, which I've watched those sheepdog demonstrations. They do them on sheep. They do them on cows with the working dogs, and that's a pretty neat event if you've never seen one. Check it out, because those dogs know how to work. This ewe got loose on September 9th during the sheepdog demonstration in Middle Tennessee in the Highland Games and Celtic Festival. I bet that would have been a heck of a place to see. We went to the Celtic Festival out in East Texas, the Canterbury. It wasn't that great. The sheep was dubbed the Belle of You by locals while dodging capture for more than 3 weeks until she was captured on Thursday by the Metro Park maintenance crew. The maintenance guys got them. They're probably tired of cleaning up after that sheep. The Metro Park Recreation Representative Jackie Jones said Belle of You was found leisurely walking down one of the closed roads in Warner Park. He's back to where it belongs. So that ewe's gone by you. Okay, I replaced my dryer this weekend. Our dryer quit working. It kept showing an error code for Lent. It kept giving us an error code for Lent. We just bought this dryer. It's brand new. We bought it a couple years ago. Probably 10, I don't know. I lose track of time. And it wasn't working. All the clothes were wet. So it was like, I don't know what's wrong with it. So we pulled it out, threw it on the porch, went to Lowe's, picked up another one. Which that wasn't in the story, because the one I bought apparently wasn't good enough. So I had to go back and get another one. So I'm just wondering, I don't know what was wrong with mine, but this story right here may shed some light. A Florida man took apart his clothes dryer when it stopped working and made a shocking discovery in the lint exhaust. Bruce said his dryer at Winter Park Home stopped working, so he started taking it apart, trying to identify the major malfunction. When he felt something moving, when he reached into the lint exhaust, he took a closer look and found a snake trapped in his dryer. He said the snake pulled itself free after a few minutes, slithered on out the exhaust vent, and went home. He went outside and found that his exhaust vent was stuck open, giving the snake a smooth entry. And I'm wondering about that, because it wasn't long ago that we did find a snake in the house. So it is possible that a snake could have crawled through the dryer vent. I've never thought of a snake crawling through the dryer vent before, because I know our dryer vent on the outside, it used to have those little flaps that come open down when you dry, but over time they crack and fall apart and dry out because they're plastic, so that's what happens to them. So I'm just curious, was there a snake in there? I didn't find it, so that's the best for me. Horses on the loose in Dallas. What a surprise. Actually, it was a surprise because I wasn't here. I was in Colorado. But Dallas Highway drivers on I-35, which is constantly under construction since 1970, at Highway 183, TxDOT, which is Texas Department of Transportation, the cameras capture video of crews wrangling horses off the interstate. There was a bunch of miniature horses that got loose. Apparently, someone didn't latch their gate properly on their trailer. They got loose. Most of them got caught except for two. They were killed on the highway. I'm hoping that it was a freak accident and not one of these hundreds of idiots driving down the road texting on their phone and then run over a horse. Speaking of horses, there's another little horse in California. The police shared a photo of a pony that they wrangled from a... What? Okay, that makes no sense. I'll just skip down to the part that does make sense. California Highway Patrol shared a photo of the officers poning with the pony, which has braids in its mane. That's not a very uncommon thing. Apparently it is in California. The pony was found on SR 91 westbound at Sherry Lane. Officers said the pony escaped from a young girl who had been riding her pet just north of the freeway. I'll tell you, if you don't ride horses long enough or often enough, at some point you are going to fall off or get bucked off. That's happened to the little girl. Horse ran away, but they found it and brought it back. This kid, I got another good one for you. This kid right here, I don't know if I'd be so enthused as he was, because I have run a 5K. I placed really good in my age division, by the way. I placed in the top 10, actually in the top 5. I want to throw too much out there. I'm not a speed demon, but I did place good. Anyway, this 9-year-old kid took a wrong turn during a 5K race and ended up winning a 10K. At some point, you got to realize you've been running for a long time. This 5K should have ended a while ago. But he came ahead and won. So Cade Lovell of St. Cloud was expecting to run his 5K, which is 3.1 miles, at the St. Francis... Whoa, what? the St. Francis Franny Flyer. The Franny Flyer? That's odd. But he missed his turn and ended up finishing first in the 6.2-mile version of the race, beating a field of competitors where the next youngest person was in their 20s. So a 9-year-old kid just dominated this 10K because he took a wrong turn. He said it was too late to turn back by the time he realized he went the wrong way. I'm sorry, if I'm running the 5K and I realize I turned the wrong way, I'm turning back around. But, you know, kids are young. They're resilient. He said at the end, where you had turned around, the signs to 10K, I was like, this is not the 5K. And once I turned around and my mom's yelling at me, he's like, well, I'm just going to go with it. His time was just under 48 minutes. He ran 6.2 miles in 48 minutes. When I ran the 5K, which 3.1, I think I was in like 31 minutes. So this kid was flying. He said that he trains 3 times a week. And plans to be in the Junior Olympics this winter. So, more power to him. Train hard and get it done. It's white girl season. Pumpkin spice latte everywhere. Pumpkin spice. I heard that on the radio today. Somebody said that. They said it's white girl season. I'm like, what does that even mean? And apparently they had to explain the pumpkin latte something. I don't know. Some kind of pumpkin spice drink you get at some weird coffee shop. I don't know. I don't drink those. If you pay more than 75 cents for your coffee, you got ripped off because it all comes from the same plant. A woman set a pumpkin pie eating record. Professional eater. Now, that's a job I don't want. I don't know if I want to be a professional eater. I mean, I eat to live, but I don't want to be professional at that. This professional eater downed 50 slices of pumpkin pie in 10 minutes. I wonder if she tried to run the 5K after that. Eat 50 slices of pumpkin pie and then go try to run. She still wouldn't run with that kid. The Great Pumpkin Farm in Clarence said that Molly of California was the top prize winner of the 10th annual hands-free world pumpkin pie eating contest. Wait a minute, this has got better. Hands-free. There's no hands involved in this. So you're face down in pumpkin pie. She set a new world record by finishing 50 slices, which beat her old record of 48 slices she set in 2017. The professional eater was awarded $1,000 for winning, and then she got another $500 for a new record. So for $1,500, she ate 50 slices of pumpkin pie handless. How do you do that? I've seen a watermelon eating contest where you don't use your hands, but a watermelon sitting up and you know, you can typewriter that watermelon. But how do you typewriter a pumpkin pie? And what I want to know, did they get to put whipped cream on top? Because plain pumpkin pie is terrible. So I don't know. You want a car? You ever wanted a car so bad you thought, you know what, I'll just print it off my printer? This is what I'm curious about. A Colorado physicist, okay, now we're getting somewhere. A physicist is putting his scientific expertise to a practical purpose using a 3D printer to build a Lamborghini with his 11-year-old son. Okay, so Ernie, Sterling Blackus, what? That's a weird name. And his son, Alexander, started with... This makes no sense. So they wanted to build a Lamborghini, and they printed it off on a printer. His background as a gearhead became far more helpful in his training as a physicist. I don't know how that goes together. The car won't be a proper Lamborghini. It contains a Corvette V8 engine and various parts produced from junkyards, including a Porsche components, but Bacchus said it will look like the real thing. The father and son posted a video online of the vehicle going for a short test drive. The duo said they hope their project inspires more kids to get interested in STEM education. That's like something else. Okay, you may hate math, you may not like science, you may not like language arts, or maybe not even art, but it all comes together with one project. What? That doesn't make sense. And I want to know, how are you printing off a car? Because you've got to have... I need to look into 3D printing because I don't even know how that works. How do you print a car off? Does the printer have to be big? Do you have a warehouse size printer? If you've got a 3D printer, send me an email. Let me know how that works, because I'm curious how you print off a car. And then instead you use parts from some other stuff, so it's not really printed off if you went and got parts from other cars. So is it a hybrid printed realistic? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. I have no idea. I will tell you this. Balloons in your pasture, don't throw balloons out. People, quit letting balloons go in the air. Stop doing that. Everybody got upset about a video I posted this weekend on our social media site about a balloon that I found out in the pasture, because it was a girl, by the way. It was a girl, the balloon. And people don't understand. I know if you live in town, you just take a balloon, you let it go. You're like, oh, I let a balloon go. I don't know what happened to it. Well, I know what happened to it. It went out to the pasture and landed out there. Because I saw it. I was looking outside. And I was like, what in the world is that out there? So I got a binocular. I said, dang it. It's another damn balloon. So I go out there. We ride out, pick up the balloon. And here's what happens. You want to be environmental friendly. Be environmental friendly by not letting go of those stupid balloons. Because what happens? The balloon goes out there. Horse, cow, even wild animals, whatever. They'll run across that balloon and they eat it. And you know what happens when they eat it? It gets hung up in their intestines. And they suffer a horrible death and they die. So next time you let a balloon go out when you're sitting in town drinking your pumpkin spice latte and you let a balloon go, just think you just killed an animal. So think about that while you're petting Fluffy in your high-rise apartment. All right, what else happened? Joker. New movie out. Joker's out. Everybody's complaining about violence. They're like, hey, why are you going to watch this violent movie? Because in Hollywood, we don't like violence, but we continue to make violent movies. I don't know why. So anyway, everybody's upset about the movie. But here's the deal. The movie shines a spotlight on mental illness. And if you look back at a lot of things that are going on in today's time, a lot of things happening, mental illness is a result of a lot of stuff that's going on. That needs to be checked. So anyway, Joker made $93.5 million, breaking another record over the weekend, coming out in theaters. But it does shine a light on a mental illness that is something that needs to be looked into. If you've got somebody in your family, somebody you know, don't seem quite right, get them checked out. They got a test for that. I'm sure they got a test for that. Probably go to CVS, get a test. Check them out. I don't know. I will tell you this. We've got a movie trailer for you coming up that you're going to want to see. It's going to be on A&E. You want to check it out. Before we get to that, I'll tell you this. Everything going on about the show, we've got deals going on right now. It's winter time's coming on. Hoodies, shirts, mugs. We have a lot of hoodies on sale. A lot of stuff's on sale. Go to pepperstewart.com. Click on the link that says sale and click on that. Look, there's a lot of different styles of shirts, hoodies, mugs. I think there's bags, stickers, all kind of stuff in there. Look at it. Do your shopping list right there. If you got somebody you really don't like, that you hate buying stuff for, buy them a shirt. Really, really upset them when they get that. Check it out. But what I'm going to do, Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks has been a music icon for decades. He's got a show coming up on A&E. It's called The Road I'm On, and it chronicles Garth's life and career from his early days playing gigs at college bars in Oklahoma and his first unsuccessful trip to Nashville to record record-breaking world tours, and how he balances family life with global fame. Take a look at this. When it comes out on A&E, you want to check it out. Until then, we'll see you on the next one.